Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of All Access Football's Draft Digest, brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible. I am Daniel Moglione. With me today is Dustin Van Fulpen. Dustin?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm getting a little feedback, that's all okay. You know, another big week of college football games. We're going to be breaking down some of the top prospects in these games. But before we even get to those top prospects who are playing this weekend, let's talk about a guy who's not playing and probably won't be playing the rest of the season, and that's wide receiver Des Bryant. The NCAA came down with their decision that he is to serve a calendar year suspension, which basically, foregone conclusion, ends his college career. Justin, is he definitely gone, and how does this impact his stock?
Well, what I'm hearing is that, yeah, he's definitely gone. I mean, he was suspended, like you said, for the remainder of this year, so won't play any of this year, and, you know, as far as could come back next year, but would be, you know, suspended up until, this month, be able to return. So basically what his thought is he's going to stay with the team and do everything but start training, train like he would train for, the combine, as far as, getting ready to run a 40, do start individual workouts, and different things like that. And people I've talked to around the league, as far as he's missed a lot of this season because of the suspension, and did put up some good stats this year, but they're going to have to go back to his sophomore season, last year, and look at the tape. And when you're talking about underclassmen and guys who haven't played a lot, that, as far as breaking down film and seeing how ready that player is going to be, that becomes a difficult situation for NFL scouts. And we've seen, like when Mike Williams came out a number of years ago, when he missed the whole season because he had tried to, get into the NFL draft early, and it hurt him. Now, obviously, he had some physical limitations, had some issues there, but just hurt him because he wasn't, hadn't played football in such a long time. That's where you get to Des Bryant. Receivers don't make that big of impact, most likely as a rookie season. With him not playing that much, that becomes a big issue. He'll probably still be a top 10, top 15 draft pick just because of his talent level, but NFL scouts are definitely worried about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's hard to say that it plays no role at all. He's still a young player, and as you said, receivers take time to develop. So, missing college games curtails that development a little bit. And on the other side, I think factoring in, there's no really great senior receiver in terms of anybody who's a lock first-round pick. The other guy who was kind of in the conversation with Des Bryant is Aurelius Ben. He may be even having a worse season than Des Bryant, if that's possible. So I think that helps him a little bit, that there's really nobody there to take that mantle as top number one wide receiving prospect.
No, I mean, he came in the season, everybody, pretty much thought he was going to be gone after this season. But he came in as the number one receiving prospect, and like you said, no one was really, gone, whether in their senior class or junior class, really said, hey, he's going to jump up and take that from Des Bryant. So, we'll see. We still got a little bit of, college football season and some of the All-Star games to see if anybody can do that. And, I like Brandon LaFell, the LSU wide receiver. He's probably the best senior wide receiver. Eric Decker, he got injured. This last game is out for the season. Jordan Shipley. I mean, so then, the senior, we start going down tiers as guys who, probably not first-round draft picks, maybe probably, if they're first-round picks, will be late first-round picks.
Yeah, this is kind of a trend I think we're seeing with this position where, the talented guys are starting to emerge so quickly at the college level as, in many cases as true freshmen. We're just basically waiting for them to be draft eligible. They come out and very few seniors actually turn out to be first round picks. All right, in addition to the Des Bryant thing, which is one of the texts you received this week, this is pretty cool. We had this up on the NFL Draft Bible website. Some texts you got from scouts and some information. So let the listeners in on some of the guys that you've been discussing with scouts with.
Well, obviously, Des Bryant was one of the situations. Another situation was with Dan LaFleur, the quarterback there for Central Michigan. A lot of people, at least one team that I've spoken with, has moved him up to their second overall senior quarterback behind just Colt McCoy from Texas, but moved ahead of Tony Pike and Tim Tebow, the guy who, you know, as far as legitimate NFL quarterback. So, you know, that's a surprising thing. We've had, you know, as far as Anthony McCoy, the tight end from USC, as far as moved up to number one tight end position. Obviously, Jermaine Gresham has been hurt this whole season. He is going to declare early for or not take his fifth year, senior year at Oklahoma. Ed Dickerson, he, you know, ahead of him there out of Oregon. So, I mean, he's jumped up, and he's had some good games. Obviously, against Notre Dame kind of put him, you know, in that top of a receiving core. So, I don't necessarily put him as my number one tight end, but, you know, one team actually has him as their number one tight end. Jerry Hughes, who we talked in the past about, so a team that I got a text from said, hey, we're going to play him, you know, we have him as a defensive end, not as an outside linebacker, because they're concerned about his hips and being able to, you know, flip them and do some things, you know, that a 3-4 outside linebacker would have to do. They don't think that he can do that, but they also think that he can, play the defensive end at the 4-3 defense, and this was a 4-3 defensive team that sent me that text, saying, hey, we think he's strong enough to hold the point of attack, to do some things, kind of like Dwight Freeney did there in Indy, and, you know, to make some plays as a defensive end, not as an outside linebacker. So that was an interesting, text I had to receive, too. So, just a lot of things. You know, hopefully we get some more information. As information I get, I'll definitely, hopefully be able to do this on a weekly basis.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I think it's interesting to get some insight from, you know, what these NFL scouts who are watching them throughout the year, what they're thinking as the season progresses and goes on. So good stuff. Definitely keep bringing that information to us. Now let's head into these games. We're starting tonight. Again, the North Carolina Tar Heels, they were disappointing last week. So we won't get too much into those players. We broke them down pretty in-depth last week. But, you know, that UNC defense, we talked about who's the, you know, most NFL-ready, guy like Sturtevant. Austin might have the most upside. You know, Quinn is the star tomorrow. Bottom line, you know, who do you think is going to ultimately be the best pro out of this North Carolina defense?
Well, I think, you know, Sturtevant, like we talked about last week, I mean, he's a guy that's just going to be that solid NFL outside linebacker who you're going to see, week in and week out at the next level, be able to make plays and be, you know, that true 4-3 outside linebacker who is in the likes of a Derek Brooks, a guy who was a perennial Pro Bowl every single year. And I think maybe Sturtevant's not to that level, you know, yet, but he could be a guy like a Derek Brooks where you're going to plug him into the Pro Bowl, year in and year out.
Yeah, I like Sturtevant too. I'm going to lean myself towards the defensive end, Quinn. It's not as safe of a pick as Sturtevant, but I think safer than taking Austin, who at this point is still more potential than actual production. I think Quinn's got a chance to be a real big-time NFL pass rusher. Obviously, he's still got some time to develop, just a true sophomore, so we'll see how that pans out. But I think probably you get either one of those guys, you'll do okay in the draft. Now, on the other side, Virginia Tech's got some pretty decent defenders as well. Let's talk about some of those guys. How about senior safety Cam Chancellor? Impressive physical skills, but, you know, is his football playing up to his physical attributes?
Well, you know, to me, he's kind of like that poor man, Taylor Mays. I mean, a guy who's 6'4", 230, and, you know, who's got everything. When you look at him, you say, dang, this guy could be a terrific, you know, strong safety at the next level. But he does have, I think, as far as his football IQ, he's got to, you know, kind of catch up. He's got, you know, 42 tackles, a couple tackles for loss, only one interception. And he's got to be more of an enforcer. Sometimes take some bad angles as far as tackling. I think if he learns a little bit more about the game, he could definitely be an impact-type pro at the next level because he's physically, he's there. He's ready to do that. I think just he's got to, the game's got to slow down for him, and hopefully the next level, I think, if a team that drafts him has a guy like an Ed Reed or, you know, Ray Lewis or some guy like that that can really kind of show him the way and kind of give him a little bit more as far as that football IQ, this guy could be, of course, a very good NFL player.
Yeah, to me, he's kind of like that prototypical boomer bust type guy. I could see him going in the second round, and either we're going to end up saying, you know, he was overdrafted because of his measurables, or, you know, maybe he's going to turn out to be a steal if, like you said, somebody kind of turns that key and unlocks whatever needs to be done there for him to, you know, kind of fulfill on all that potential. How, you know, staying in the secondary, how about Steven Virgil, the senior corner, obviously with the guys like Macho Harris and Flowers there the last couple of years. He's a guy that's been overlooked a little bit, but I think he's a pretty solid prospect. What can you tell us about him?
Well, you know, he definitely is. I think, you know, he's in that line of those Virginia Tech guys that you just spoke about. You know, good size, is almost 6 foot, 195 pounds, a guy who's a sure tackler. You know, I think one thing he's got to be able to do is he can play a little bit more man-to-man. He's very good in the zone. You know, he can drop into coverage. I think as far as his man-to-man skills are something that he needs to improve, you know, improve on at that next level. Be interested to see what type of 40 he puts out, you know, and then that's going to determine what type of defense he can play in the secondary. Is he a cover two type corner, or is he a guy who can play man-to-man, given more experience?
And then finally on the defensive line, Jason Worlds, a junior defensive end. He's in the 240 plus range as a defensive end. A little light right now, but like I said, he's still an underclassman, so he's not necessarily a guy that's going to leave after this year. What do you think about his development as a pass rusher?
Well, I mean, he definitely got some skills and got some ability. You know, hopefully he comes back for his senior season, which I expect him to do that. But he's got to get, like you said, a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. But I think his initial, what he's got some talent. He's got some ability to kind of flourish, you know, as a pass rusher at the next level and be able to do some things there. I think a situational guy at the next level. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a high draft pick, but definitely a guy to keep your eye on for the rest of this season and definitely next year.
All right, now on the other side of the ball, how about Tyrod Taylor? You know, the quarterback there at Virginia Tech looked god-awful in the opening game against Alabama, really struggled from, you know, the few passes he did. But since then has started to play a little better on a more consistent basis. I spoke to their running back, Ryan Williams, on Sunday, and he said he thought that Tyrod's doing a lot better job of using his feet behind the line of scrimmage, meaning not only to scramble, but to kind of give by time for the receivers and keeping his eyes downfield. He thought that was a big reason why he's improved as a season. Talk about his development as a prospect.
Well, I think everybody wanted to be the next Michael Vick, you know, a guy that was just going to be, you know, an amazing talent. He's not that. I think we all have, you know, figured that out. And then the next comparison went to Isaiah Williams from Illinois, a guy who was a shorter, you know, quarterback, but was an athlete, a guy who could make plays with his feet and his arms. And, you know, and obviously Isaiah Williams, Juice Williams, has kind of dropped and hit the radar at the quarterback position for the next level. And Tyrod Taylor, he's still got some time, and he's got to be able to do some better things as far as throwing the football, because we know he's a very good athlete, but he's got to be able to make some better reads and make some decisions. He's got a good enough arm for the next level. He's a good enough athlete. The question mark is how does his quarterbacking skills, that as far as reading, being able to read defense and check down and not saying, okay, hey, my first guy's covered, so I'm either going to check it down or I'm going to go ahead and run. He needs to be able to look at those third and fourth, you know, reads and stuff like that and be able to make some plays. He's got the talent. The question is, will his athleticism catch up to that quarterback position?
Right, yeah, and I hear what you're saying. I still got to see more, to be honest, myself. I don't see him being a starting quarterback in the NFL from what I've seen to this point. I do give him credit for improving. I like to see kids do that, particularly after such a rough start. So, you know, I'm going to keep my mind open and watch what he does the rest of this year and next year, but I still got to see more. Let's stay at the quarterback position and let's move to tomorrow night's game, West Virginia at University of South Florida. Jarrett Brown, the senior quarterback from West Virginia, obviously he hasn't had that time to really do much development. He had to sit behind Pat White the last 3 years, got a couple starts here and there. He's got a decent NFL arm, decent size, very good athleticism. What's your take on him and how he's done so far in his first chance as a starting quarterback?
You know, like you said, I mean, he hadn't had a lot of time. He's kind of, you know, been a guy who's only had 1 year at the college football level, and he's completed 67% of his passes. I saw it last week against UConn, was kind of up and down. He's kind of been that the whole season, 8 touchdowns, six interceptions. But a guy who is a very good athlete, good size, 6'4", 225. I know he did get invited, you know, invite to the Texas First the Nation game. So I don't know if he's accepted that yet, but I know that they've invited him. And if he can, you know, show well at that game, that could definitely be a, you know, plus for him, because he needs to be able to get under center and kind of show what he can do. He's, you know, even not going to be asked to be a starting quarterback, and you know, as a rookie year, but could come in as a third string guy, you know, learn the system and, you know, play more. Could be a guy that 3-4 years down the road we're looking at, hey, this guy is a starter in the NFL and a very good pro because he's got all the physical tools. And I think as far as he's got the football IQ, and the guy who I think could develop into something is a very good, you know, NFL quarterback.
Yeah, he's, an intriguing developmental type pick, as you said. An interesting matchup, I think, in this game will be staying with West Virginia when they have the ball. Noel Devine and that speedy running back against linebacker Keon Wilson. What's your take on those two guys? You know, does Devine have enough in terms of size to be an impact player at the next level? And how about Keon Wilson? I think he's a guy on that South Florida defense that seems to be getting better every game.
Yeah, I think Devine's definitely a guy we're going to see in the NFL next year. From what I'm hearing, he's guys that's going to declare early, you know, come out there. And he's that Darren Sproles type of guy, a speed guy, return guy, you know, third down back. Hey, let's give him as far as the ball on a, you know, a draw, you know, as far as a zone play. And a guy who can use his speed. And we saw last week against UConn, a guy who could just bust out, you know, play after play and go for, you know, big yardage because of that speed there. You know, Keon Wilson's a guy that's going to be, you know, bring his lunch pail to work, a workman-type linebacker in a 4-3 defense, outside guy who's got some speed, got some athleticism, can cover as far as the backs coming out of the backfield. And like you said, this would be a good matchup to see what type of level can he cover at in a zone in a man-to-man if he is matched up with Noel Devine on a one-on-one basis.
Yeah, that was an impressive run Devine had on that game-winning touchdown, man, against UConn. It was unbelievable. You know, you see the play developing, and it looks like that DB had the perfect angle, and not only did he beat him to the spot, but he was, you know, had the balance to stay in bounds. Pretty amazing stuff from Devine there.
Yeah, I mean, he like I said, I mean, he's a good guy who can make amazing plays, and hopefully he's not going to be that Reggie Bush at the next level. Hopefully he'll know what he can do, and a team will use him like what the Saints are using Reggie Bush at right now, is a guy who can catch some screens, do some reverses, punt return, kick return, and a guy use his athleticism in that right packages.
All right, same with the USF defense. Who do you think is a better prospect at this point? Is it George Selvey or is it Jason Pierre-Paul who's coming on? I mean, the last few games that I've watched South Florida, Selvey has been slowed down by one-on-one blocking.
Well, I mean, both these guys are, you know, physically, as far as they've got all the talent to be very good NFL, you know, players. You know, Selvey, he's really slipped over the last couple of years, actually, because, I mean, his sophomore year, he was outstanding. And Paul is a guy who, you know, has the physical abilities, and I think, you know, right now, he's probably ascended over Selvey as a better, you know, pro prospect. You know, I think Paul will probably, you know, come back next year to the, you know, South Florida and be a guy who, you know, could really improve more, and hopefully he doesn't do what Selvey did, you know, take a step back. Hopefully he keeps on ascending and turn out to be a very good, you know, NFL football player.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think Paul looks right now like a better overall prospect, but at the same time, Jay's junior college transfer is still kind of raw. I think it would be a mistake if he tries to leave after this year. He still can, you know, need some work on that game. All right, let's move on to one of the big games of the day in college football. That's in the Big 12, Texas against Oklahoma State, ABC at 8 o'clock. Interesting quarterback matchup. You know, Colt McCoy has obviously been the bigger name and the more productive guy. But, you know, how do he and Zach Robinson stack up against each other?
Well, I think the thing is, Zach Robinson coming into the season, a lot of people expected a lot out of him. Obviously, he lost his number one receiver in Dez Bryant, you know, as far as to the suspension like we talked about earlier. But I really thought that this guy could take the next level and really move up his stock for the NFL. I mean, Colt McCoy, he really hasn't changed much. He is what he is, you know, a guy that's, you know, probably a second, you know, round type player and might get overdrafted because of what he did at Texas. And could be a very good NFL quarterback. I don't think he's a superstar. I don't think he's a first-round draft pick, you know, and I think he did the right thing of coming back to Texas because they got a shot to win the national title.
And there's some interesting one-on-one matchups in this game. Russell Okung, I think, has served himself well. Not only has he played really well this season, but a lot of the other top left tackle prospects among the senior class that returned have kind of had their ups and downs. So I think he's moving up that list. and he'll be matched up a few times this Saturday against Sergio Kindle, the pass rusher from Texas. How do you see that matchup going, Okung versus Kindle?
Well, I think it's a great matchup. It's a matchup that, you know, as far as can really change the draft, you know, stock for both of these guys. I mean, Okung right now, like you said, I think he's the number one offensive tackle prospect, the number one, you know, as far as senior O-tackle guy that's, you know, out there right now. And Kindle, I mean, he came on with a lot of, you know, kind of hype, you know, as far as early in the season with Texas. And he's got to show some more. He didn't play particularly well in that Oklahoma game and hasn't had a bust-out season, just dominating like a Rathbone did last year, everybody thought. But he could change a lot of different, you know, attitudes and kind of put himself back in a position where a lot of people thought of him coming into this college football season. So, like I said, it's a huge game against both of them. And I think, you know, what I've seen so much, I think Okung gets the best of Sergio Kindle this Saturday.
Yeah, it's hard for me to predict otherwise. I think Okung will definitely hold his own, and I think from a scouting perspective, there'll definitely be a spotlight on this matchup. When the other team has the ball, when Texas is back on offense, you know, they might not be matched up per se individually as often, but how about Jordan Shipley going up against Parrish Cox when it does happen?
I mean, Shipley's been a guy who's been a consistent, you know, far as receiver. He's a great route runner and, you know, he's got 58 catches, 5 touchdowns, you know, punt return guy. You know, a guy who I think, you know, is a very technically sound wide receiver. And I think that's going to do well for, you know, Texas when they have the ball. And that's who, you know, as far as McCoy's big guy is. It's his buddy. You know, they have a great chemistry. They know what they're going to do on the field. And that's why I think Shipley, you know, as far as can really get the best of Cox if they do match up.
All right, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Obviously, I think they have a little bit different skills in terms of what they're going to do at the next level. I think Shipley's a guy you could see a lot on the inside, on the slot. Cox probably projects to be more of a, you know, corner on the outside. How about just in terms of the game, do you think you give OSU a chance to pull off?
Well, I think, you know, as far as they've got a shot, do I think they'll pull it off? No, I think if they had Dez Bryant, I think that's the biggest missing piece for Oklahoma State. If they had Dez Bryant, I think they, you know, could really pull off the, you know, upset since it is there at Oklahoma State. So without Dez Bryant, I think Texas wins, but I think it's going to be another close, good game there this Saturday.
All right, now moving on to the other big game that's also on 8 o'clock. You know, depending on where you are in the country, some of you will get the Texas-Oklahoma State game on ABC. Others of you will get USC at Oregon. The other game, I believe, will be on ESPN. You know, we don't always focus a lot on the tight ends, but we talk a little bit about these guys at the top. Who's the better pro prospect here, McCoy from USC, who obviously, as you mentioned, is moving up on some teams' draft boards, or Ed Dixon, the kid from Oregon? Both of these guys have been putting up pretty impressive numbers this year.
Well, I like Ed Dixon because I think he's a guy who's more of an all-around type, you know, tight end, and a guy who, you know, to me, he is a guy who is a very good blocker and has also got, you know, for some good hands, some good route running ability. And I think McCoy, I mean, he came to USC as a wide receiver, and that's what his skills are. I mean, he's a very good guy who can get down the seam. When it comes to inline blocking and for being able to do what the NFL asks for at tight end, you know, I think he lacks that ability to be, you know, he's a guy who's going to be, you know, off in the slot and a guy who's going to be able to make some plays at the next level, but a complete tight end. I like Ed Dixon from Oregon.
And how about those USC running backs? You know, we focus a lot on Joe McKnight this year. Last week it was Mr. Bradford who had the big game against Oregon State. What do you think of this 1-2 punch?
Well, you know, I mean, I think McKnight's a guy who a lot of people had compared to Reggie Bush. And, you know, as far as he hasn't been able to make those huge plays at USC, whether it was injuries or inconsistency or what. And I think, you know, he'll probably leave early for the NFL draft. I think it's a mistake. I think he needs to get, you know, for his more technically sound running the football and be able to use his blocks and be able to make some bigger plays. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, Bradford had a huge game, 147 yards, a couple touchdowns this past week against Oregon State. And he's a guy who, you know, with the injuries that they've had that running back position, got some opportunities this season and made the best of it. And is starting to show up on the radar for next year's draft.
And this game is another key game in college football with potential BCS championship ramifications. USC is one of those teams hoping, rooting for Oklahoma State, as many will be on Saturday. Where do you see this game going? Could Oregon end USC's 7-year reign over the Pac-10?
Yeah, I think it does happen. I think as far as they're in Oregon, I think it's a perfect, you know, sets up perfect for Oregon. What they've done here after that first, you know, loss against Boise State, I think they go. I think USC comes in and loses the game and kind of kicks, you know, bumps themselves out of the national title hope there. So I think Oregon goes ahead and takes the Pac-10 this year and goes to the Rose Bowl.
I'm with you there, buddy. I think they're going to win that game at home. I think it's even though USC has won some tough road games and Matt Barkley, you know, is starting to get a road warrior reputation, winning in Notre Dame, winning in Cal, winning in the Horseshoe in Ohio State. But I think this might be the toughest game he's faced yet. And actually, I like Oklahoma State to potentially pull off the upset as well, too. So I'm calling for a double upset of those big games on Saturday night. The earlier game, the other team that's in this national championship picture is Florida. They play Georgia at 3:30 on CBS. Tim Tebow, you know, his numbers are significantly down. Obviously, he suffered the concussion. Where does he stand now? Is his stock up? Is his stock down?
Well, as far as NFL, you know, people, his stock's, you know, down. And, you know, a lot of people around the country, you know, will say, hey, this guy could, you know, play in the next level. And really, I mean, he's a guy who right now is probably a lot of teams boards the fourth-rated, you know, senior quarterback. I mean, he's not going to be a first-round pick as much as a lot of people want to think he is. A lot of people are scared of what happened with Vince Young and a guy who was a spread guy who was more of a runner than a thrower, and that's what scared a lot of people on Tim Tebow. And we haven't seen that development to go to the, you know, next level of him throwing the football. Yes, is he a tough player? Does he have the great story, you know, as far as a great guy and a, you know, guy that does a lot for, you know, Florida as far as not on offense, not only on the field but off the field with his missions and charity work that he's done in third world countries. But as far as his play as a pure quarterback, that's what people are worried about, a guy who could, you know, hasn't played under center, not a guy who throws the best ball, doesn't have the greatest mechanics, and so people are concerned about that, and that's why he's kind of dipping down on the radar there when we're talking about top, you know, NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah, I can't disagree at all with that. Now, Florida is, you know, stocked with defensive talent on the defensive side of the ball. Who could be the first Gator off the board in this draft?
You know, I think Carlos Dunlap, the defensive end there, is a guy that's probably, he's a junior, going to declare early. He's going to be the guy that's probably, you know, is that Derek Harvey type guy who went to Jacksonville. Obviously, Harvey hasn't put up to the numbers that they would have liked him to do there, but still a young guy. But I think Dunlap is that pass-rushing player that everybody's looking for and could go in the top 10. You know, then you've got Joe Hayden, another junior, the cornerback, that's probably, you know, leaving as well and will be right, you know, behind him as a top, you know, 15, 20 type pick there. So those two guys, you know, you're going to see them two leave Florida early and be drafted fairly high.
Yeah, folks, don't be surprised if Brandon Spikes is actually the third defensive player from Florida to get drafted. How about on Georgia? You know, you got the defensive tackles, Owen Jadkins, you got Rennie Kern at linebacker, Jones at safety. Who do you think is the best prospect on that Georgia defense?
Well, I think as far as Curry is the outside linebacker, yeah, he is, you know, maybe 5'10", 5'11". He is short, 220 pounds. But we've seen a guy like Ernie Sims there in Detroit, a smaller outside linebacker who's got a lot of speed. We've seen Jared Mayo, who was a little bit undersized, not to that type of level, but what he's been able to do there in New England. And I think Curry fits into that that mold of a guy who's a very, you know, seek-and-destroy type linebacker who can fit, you know, as far as playing inside in a 3-4 defense or outside in a 4-3 defense, the weak side linebacker, and wreck some havoc at the next level.
All right, we got a little bit over a minute left. I want to touch on Dan LeFevre, who you brought up on the top of the show. I'll put him ahead of McCoy and Tebow myself as an NFL prospect. But what do you think about how important this week's game is against Boston College? Not necessarily a top 25 school or top 10 school, but still an ACC school. How big is it for him to perform well against them?
Well, it's huge. It's a huge game, like you said. I mean, like I said, a lot of teams have him very high as far as quarterbacks positioning. He had a big game against Michigan State, which is a Big Ten school, and, you know, has some NFL prospects on that defense that performed well against them. Obviously, Boston College doesn't have its number one linebacker because he's out with the cancer, and everything sounds well, that he's doing well there. But they do have guys who possibly could play in the NFL, and it's huge for Dan LeFevre to see what he can actually do against an ACC team And when they do, they're undefeated. They only lost one game to Arizona. They're undefeated in the MAC, only lost one game to Arizona, and they are going to go to a good-sized bowl, and that's going to be another big test for him. So he's moving up the draft board. He has another good week against Boston College. He moves, like I said, probably to the number one overall senior quarterback in a lot of teams' draft board.
All right, Justin, thanks a lot for joining us again. We'll be back next week. I'm Daniel Moglione, president of the NFL Draft Bible. It's draft guru Justin Van Fulpen. Don't forget, go to NFLDraftBible.com, where you can check out Justin's five texts from NFL Scouts, his mock draft top 15, and every week we have his top 10s, a new position. We're up to somewhere in the linebackers, I believe. Right, Justin?
Yeah, well, we're going to do inside linebackers tomorrow.
All right, great. So go to NFL Draft Bible and check out all the draft information from Justin Van Fulpen. Thanks a lot, Justin. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you, man.